October 19th, 2007, and this is 508, a show about Worcester. This is Mike Benedetti, and today I am again joined by Brendan Milligan. Brendan, how's it going?
Spectacular, thank you.
So you tell me the top story of the day involves ladybugs.
Yesterday was insane. It was like a plague in the city. Everywhere you went, there were just swarms of ladybugs covering buildings. I mean, the air was full of them. I walked from my car into my house yesterday. My shirt was just completely coated in what I'm told are Asian ladybugs.
Is this in the paper today?
I don't think so. I haven't really had a chance to check. The TMZ website has been down all morning.
I know. It's been screwed up for a couple of days now. Well, I didn't see these ladybugs because I've been at the new courthouse all week at the Larry Sirignano assault and battery trial. And I feel like I'm in some sort of altered state of consciousness at this point from spending so much time in this trial. You know, it reminds me of, like, I don't know, like the OJ trial, and people are going on and on about some weird detail of the crime. Like, I feel like I could be one of those guys if there was anybody else but me who cared about this trial.
Was Larry wearing gloves?
There was nothing like that. There was a lot of business about, well, you know, this is at a demonstration, so there was a certain amount of business early on about, like, the buffer zone between people, and then that was sort of cleared up, and that was less exciting. At this point, I think that one interesting point of contention is, like, the detectives, what is it called, like, event narrative report or something? Like, there's just these weird little, you know, but again, I think that at the end of the day, none of this stuff is really that. I'm sure the jury doesn't care about any of this stuff. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that nobody involved cares about this stuff, just the spectators who are getting kind of, you know, tired and goofy after a while.
What has the response been like for the with the police? I mean, have there been many officers on the stand all? Or?
Yeah, there was. Well, you know, the police didn't really see anything that was going on. They basically just clarified that what they were doing is they were just there to sort of keep a path clear. Originally, there was a, I think because there was a civil rights charge in there that then got dropped, and I think because of that, the defense was trying to just argue, like, well, the police had, like, maintained that this was a really clear area and counter protesters shouldn't go in there. And the police were like, no, we were just, like, trying to keep a path. We didn't care who was on what side of the path. And they showed a videotape yesterday, which I think might be a video that's online. And actually, you know, they were showing the video, I think, more to show where certain witnesses were just prior to this possible assault. But one thing that you get from the video, too, is that there were just sort of people from both sides of the gay marriage issue, like, stirring around, at least both sides of where the guy with the cameras walking, which I assume is the path. He seems pretty close to the street, I think. But I don't know. It's not the video is not great. The perspective is hard to follow with the video, but just sort of an interesting. Like, I wasn't there that day, so it's just sort of interesting to see that and see, you know, what the people who were there saw.
Much like yourself, I could go on about this whole thing for hours because I find the details and both mind numbing, but equally fascinating.
And, like, yes.
The idea of like buffer zones and whatnot for I understand you pull a permit when you're going to have an event like this, whether it's a protest or.
Well, you know, I would actually argue that you pull a permit if you're an outside group and you're doing something like this.
Well, that's a good point, but, you know, I mean, if they did pull a permit, which I guess they did. The idea that we now have, and I guess, I mean, we set a precedent for this in the last round of presidential elections, that we're going to have, like, these free speech zones and whatnot. You know, we're going to be the cone of silence or an isolation tank to stick people in who have differing viewpoints. That's just so bizarre. And, like, if we're going to have permits, that's fine, you know, for the actual event. But then to actually dictate, like, where people can and can't be in that event in a public space is just it's outlandish.
I mean, well, there's an issue about you know, are you allowed to go to somebody else's event if they have a permit with a contrary message? And the case law, the judge is like, the case law is clear. They're allowed to do, you know, they're allowed to take steps to prevent that.
But why would anyone even bring? I mean, okay, what about varying degrees of message? Like what if I agree with half of the game, you know, the anti-gay
right.
marriage stance? Do I have
right.
to stand, like, between the two groups, or, you know?
Well, that's you know, any peace demonstration you go to, that becomes a huge problem. Or not a huge problem, but that's definitely an issue, right? Because there's people there who are, like, you know, I don't know, some sort of Maoists, and then there are people who are this or or that or some kind of anarchist. And then there's people who are just like suburban moms and dads. And you've got people with like Jesus, like me, I would have probably some sort of Jesus type sign at a peace thing. And other people would have, you know, possible anti-Christian. I mean, like there's I think that that's more about coalition building. I don't know that there's any, I mean, there was no issue. Nobody even tried to bring up this issue of like, well, how do you decide? I mean, I guess it's from the St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston a few years ago when a gay group tried to get in and they were like, no, like that's the key issue here. You know, it sounds to me like this, I don't know. Let's say that there is a hypothetical juror who hasn't made up his mind, who's on that jury or who's like considering all the evidence. I don't think that there is. I think that like me, the jurors like have these natural biases that make it really hard to be impartial.
Well, sure.
But let's say you're impartial. I think that what it comes down to is you could vote not guilty on this if you believed the account of the defense witnesses, which was basically that, you know, the Sirignano, you know, sort of pushed Sarah Loy out of the area in a, you know, reasonable, considered way. And that you believe that account, and then you thought that that was also justified. Like, I think that there is some language in the instructions of the jury about reasonable or justified or whatever use of force. And I think that you would vote for an assault and battery is if you either believe the prosecution witnesses who said that this was like a really rough pushing, or you believe the defense witnesses, but you were like, you know what, you're not allowed to even do that amount. So yesterday the defense attorney was trying to get the judge to like give them some more detailed instructions about what assault and battery was about, and the judge was like, I think I'm just going to give them the regular spiel on assault and battery. So I assume that the defense lawyer is going to try to work into the testimony today, you know, as much as he can about justification and blah, blah, blah. But I think that's what it comes down to. So I think that there's totally a reasonable argument to be made that, like, you know, if you're talking about reasonable doubt, you could have reasonable doubt about this. Like, I don't have a doubt about this, but I think that somebody who is just like an impartial – I think that just an impartial juror could have a reasonable doubt about what was going on there.
I'm sure you could make an argument that on both sides that it was a setup, that, you know, I mean, that you know, that things played out exactly as folks wanted. But what I can't for the life of me understand, and I'm by no means a pacifist. I'm the furthest thing from a pacifist. If anything, I think more people should be pushed and punched in the face. But in this case, you've got someone that – I mean, assault and battery are very, very clear terms. And, you know, you're very limited, both whether it's law enforcement or an individual, you're very limited in when you can assault and or batter. And this just, I mean, what's the argument that's being made? Like, that this was, there's no civil rights violation. You have someone who's standing there with a sign, you know, against someone who has a full PA system. Where's the civil rights violation?
Well, the civil rights violation would actually be on Sarah Loy.
Well, but I mean, if the defense is making the argument that they were interrupting, an event that was, you know, or hindering their ability, their right to free speech or whatever the argument could possibly be.
Oh, the charge was that Sarah Loy's own right of free speech was being hindered by this. That was the civil rights charge.
Right.
So it was like, and the judge was like, that's not, she didn't have a right to free speech in this area, or I mean, she didn't have a right to have a sign with a contrary message in the area to begin with. Like, these guys had the right to keep those messages out, like maybe not by shoving people, but they had a right to take steps to keep those messages out. So she didn't have the right to utter that particular thing in that area. So he was like, so there's no civil rights violation because she didn't have a civil right.
But that's just so bizarre. I mean, and I get what they're saying, but like, does that mean that you know, Sarah Loy couldn't have rented out the billboard on top of the Denholm building, and so everyone could see her message up there?
Well, no, because they didn't have a permit for the top of the Denholm building. That's. I mean, there is probably, I don't know. There's probably some lawyerly thing that you could say in here.
Yeah, no. The details are just so ridiculous. I mean, it's forever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just one last thing I wanted – two things I want to say. One thing is don't read the account of the trial at Mass Resistance because it's very sloppy. You should read my version of the trial, which is sloppy but not as bad as that Mass Resistance version, which is very bad. Mm-hmm. The other thing is You know, I think that the real, if there's any fallout, well, I mean, here's what I think the real fallout could be. Like, obviously, Sirignano's career is going to be affected, or Sarah Loy is going to be humiliated, or whatever, depending on which way this goes. I think the real people who are, you know, get affected in this is, like, A, Richard Nangle of the TNG for having to, like, take the stand. And I think to his credit, he made a really strong statement. Like, he wasn't, like, trying to, you know, avoid, you know, I don't know. He wasn't trying to be muddy in order to, like, get himself out of it somehow. His statement was really strong and really clear. Two, I think that the police detective, who seems to have made a couple of errors in his report, his investigation report on this, I bet his career is going to be affected. The third thing is, right now, the police at City Hall, when you do a demonstration, whether or not you have a permit, they're really hands-off. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get away. Like, they don't like it when you get away with stuff, but they'll let you get away with stuff. Because their job is like, they're like, we're just here to keep things mellow. And I don't know. We'll have to see. Like, but this could definitely change. You know, the police could definitely be like, I don't think the police could have done anything different in this case. I don't know what they could have done. You know, there were some people were complaining after this, like, oh, the police weren't, like, helping us keep these counter demonstrators out. But witness after witness on both sides, I think, have said, like, yeah, we saw, like, the police, like, especially the defense witnesses, they're all like, yeah, somebody went in this place and we got the cops and the cops took them out. And then somebody else went over there and we get the cops and the cops took them out. So it does seem like the police totally did a good job in this case. Like, you know, I'm sure that if they – I mean, Sarah Loy was, by all the witnesses, was, like, only standing there for less than a minute when Sirignano came at her. So it does seem like – again, this is maybe something that the jurors think is like, well, maybe it's reasonable to push somebody out of your demonstration, but if the cops are right there and they're being really helpful, like,
I don't know. I mean, there is no – if assault is a crime or battery is a crime, then no, there isn't. Because, you know, if I'm not mistaken, in Massachusetts, force still equals force. You know, it's not – you don't just go running around pushing people because they're saying something that you don't like, especially when there's cops standing right there.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that the ADA is going to say that. I mean, the ADA is not like – you know, I don't go to enough trials to say is he like a poor guy in the courtroom or not. I'm sure he may just be an average guy in the courtroom. The defense, I think, hired a very good guy in the courtroom, and so I think that I'm hoping that in the closing statement, the ADA can just really clearly say, listen, there's a lot of contradictions in all the testimony of all the witnesses on both sides, and you know nobody really agrees 100% on any story here, mm-hmm. and there were everybody does agree that there were police there and they were being helpful. Like, do you grab somebody or do you push somebody even in a nice way from behind if you know there's police there who will take care of the issue for you,
right.
And the person's only been there a second, you haven't even tried, who knows? Anyway, drop this matter, because I could talk again. I could be like one of these guys who will still talk to you for 4 hours about O.J. Simpson even today. is there anything else going on outside of the new courthouse in the city of Worcester?
Outside of the new court, well, we've got our debate on Monday at the dive bar, which I'm getting more excited about every day. I still do not have confirmation from Connie Lukes as to whether or not to attend, which is bumming me out.
Wow.
But I've got Bill Coleman, Gary Rosen, and Rick Rushton on board.
Are they going to be drinking during the event?
I don't know if they are, but I am.
Excellent.
They're on their own.
You know, I really liked – there was a good article in the TNG about the event. That's a nice thing.
Sean Sutton recovered it real well for us. He was real happy with what he did.
You know, maybe it's because the TNG website is broken, but I was kind of sad to see that there wasn't a long, obscene list of angry comments. I know that you love that stuff on the TNG website. I thought that would be a perfect gift to you.
I was looking forward to that all day, knowing it was going to go live. I don't know that people would be coming out of the woodwork calling for us to repeal prohibition or bring back prohibition, repeal the repeal.
I know,
but yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I think we're gonna have a great turnout down there. We've got Kaz Gamble and Andrea Jamian coming down to film the event, so we're gonna get it up. Besides the folks who get to see it live, we're gonna get it out there as many possible ways as we can, on the web, hopefully on TV, and we'll see what happens.
Cool. I wanted to ask you about a couple of small stories of the week. Have you read the Research Bureau's casino report yet?
I scanned over it yesterday. I'm not a huge fan of – this is probably going to – here's one more bridge for me to burn. I'm just not a huge fan of the Research Bureau. They seem to be the ultimate purveyors of conventional wisdom or stating the obvious and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, the casino, it's – I don't understand why anyone would think that a casino is a good idea in Central Mass, you know, in general, or Worcester in particular. So, I mean, that's it. I don't know where you would put the thing. I don't know. Maybe there aren't enough local politicians who have been down to Atlantic City, you know, in the last 20 years. But yeah, that's probably the very last thing that the city of Worcester needs is get more gambling.
And I love we should have a city council trip down to Atlantic City.
I'll
just
rent
to kind of
dude, you can drive, and I mean
it'll be sweet.
I mean, and I love to gamble. I go to Vegas all the time. You know, I mean, well, not all. I go to Vegas occasionally, but okay. You know, Vegas is a city that's built on gambling. That's what they do. You know, I mean, it's like. That's what the whole city is about. It's the core of the city. It's the heartbeat of the community. Well, that and legalized prostitution. But the you know, I mean, another thing that probably wouldn't work well in Worcester. Just because something works somewhere else doesn't mean that we have to do it. You know, Massachusetts used to have this rich history of creating its own economies, and now suddenly because we're behind the eight ball in terms of money, we're just like, I'm surprised we haven't invited Disney in yet to you know, but take over the airport and
rebuild downtown like Times Square.
Exactly. I mean, it's we've got a lot of options around here. We just need to actually think things through and think a little bit ahead of the curve instead of following it.
That's right. Let's buck up Worcester. Let's get it together and you know make it happen. You know, I got spammed by a city council candidate this week. have you had this happen yet?
I have not.
I'm just going to say for the record, it was Bill McCarthy, and therefore, to hell with you, buddy. I'm not voting for you. Forget it.
Was it a decent message?
Was just like a whatever. It was just like a, yeah, it's like, you know, the election's coming in a couple of weeks and vote for me. But it was like totally like his, you know, had the gigantic graphic at the top. I might throw it in the blog post on this.
He wasn't sort of telling you herbal Viagra, though.
No. Okay. And he wasn't saying that, you know, his father was the ex-president of Nigeria. Like that, I actually, let me just say right now, if Bill McCarthy had sent that spam, I would have voted for him. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would be
you know?
Regular. And I probably would have donated to the campaign or his father's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he would have probably lost the election even worse because then all these people would have been like, you're nuts. But again, like, I feel like I have a big soft spot for people who are nuts as far as we need more craziness on, like, the occasional Gary Rosen or, you know, resolution on there is not enough, man. We need somebody, you know. We need somebody to shake things up. That's my feeling.
Well, and maybe Monday,
a live wire.
We can get you know the candidates annihilated on Monday, and we'll see how nuts we'll bring out the nuts. That's the goal for Monday night.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what I would do if one of the mayoral candidates got. I don't know if that would make me think like I don't know. Like, let's say Rushton got smashed. Would that make me think better of him or worse of him?
I guess
I have
it
no
depends
idea.
Whether or not he's a good drunk, and I don't know personally. I mean, if he turns around and like tries to body slam Gary Rosen, I mean, that would be a problem. I don't.
It would be a problem for you as the organizer, but again, it might be kind of cool. It would be really a spontaneous thing for a guy who I don't think of as like a super, you know, again, a live wire. I don't know. Do you have anything else to talk about this week in the city?
Well, I think we've doubled our time so far to you know, what we normally go through, and I don't know that we've actually accomplished anything.
No.
I don't have anything more to add.
Well, let's finish this up so I can race down to the courthouse and try to catch the exciting final day of the Larry Siriniano trial. If people want to call in and complain, and actually one guy who was stoned called in, and like I don't know if it's not drunk dialing, it's just stoned. I don't know if there's a term for that. But if you have something actual like that's besides drunk dialing us, we'll totally put it on the show. You can call 508-471-3897. Brendan, thanks a heap.
Pleasure.
Talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.